And I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, this week I'm a little excited. I've told everybody that I've seen I got a new car.
You got a new car?
Mm-hmm. A new car!
Well... How exciting is that?
It's super exciting.
So when you get a new car, what ultimately you get is modern electronics?
Uh-huh. I'm a gadget guy, and I get a new car every 3 years. This is my man called Uwe move. Every 3 years I get a new car because I love all the gadgetry, and I bought a car that has every bell and every whistle. I'm going to be working all week trying to figure out what the bells and whistles are.
And did you choose a hybrid or an electric?
This is a hybrid, but okay. It is a plug-in hybrid.
Tell me about that.
So I'm going to plug my car in when I get home from school every day. It's going to pull energy from the energy grid and put it into my car, and I'm going to drive to work without using a drop of gasoline because my car has a 50-mile battery range.
And for those who are listening far, far away, Steve lives close enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking
15 miles.
Is it 15 miles?
15 miles
so
to work.
30 miles round trip.
Correct.
So the joke is going to be, is how long will a tank of fuel last you?
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is it lasts maybe a month, month and a half.
It might be a year. It might be 2 years.
Well, because at some point, you're going to need to run it out because fuel only lasts.
I do need to buy a little bit of Stabil to put into the fuel because it needs to stay in the tank. Mm-hmm. My gas tank is 7 gallons. It is a 7-gallon tank, and the gasoline engine gets 42 miles to the gallon.
So the other beauty of this is that your family has 2 automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you do go on long trips, and this right. is not the vehicle for you, let's just say, we don't know if that's the...
I will find out this week, that's for sure.
Well, you have another one that you can take those traditional trips with.
That gets 30 miles to the gallon.
How lovely.
Uh-huh. We will see how that all works out.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see that new DC Universe movie, Birds of Prey.
Steve, I don't think that's the name of this movie anymore.
I don't know what the name of this movie is. There is a subtitle, Birds of Prey, : and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. But AMC theaters changed their marquee to reflect the fact that this movie is now called Harley Quinn, : Birds of Prey.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, I don't care what they name it. This is a bad film.
That's the title.
Now, what we first should say is Margot Robbie is our star of this. She also is the producer.
Uh-huh.
And everyone loves Margot Robbie.
I can't imagine not loving Margot Robbie.
So the problem is not Margot Robbie.
Right.
The problem is the tone of this film. This film plays a lot like the Joel Schumacher Batman and Robin film from many years ago.
Oh, boy.
With the nipple suits and stuff like that.
Yeah, bat nipples.
Oh, uh-huh. And, ice to see you. So the whole time I'm watching this, I'm going, this movie is awesome. Awful. So,
oh boy.
So Birds of Prey is awful if you want to know about it.
Okay.
I think part of the challenge is it's kind of trying to be a little Deadpoolish.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Deadpool and Ryan Reynolds' portrayal of the character left a mark on the movie going business and mm-hmm. superhero films.
Mm-hmm.
But Margot Robbie is not Ryan Reynolds, so that's not her strongest case. So even though we like Margot Robbie and Mark like Margot Robbie in this character, she just doesn't have the same presence that Ryan Reynolds does in Deadpool. I think when I say tonal issues with this movie, there is this part where Obi-Wan Kenobi Steve is our bad guy.
Ewan McGregor, yes.
So Ewan McGregor,
point of view.
That's right. And he is our bad guy, and he is a person who has struggles with people making fun of him. So there's this scene where he's in his club, and something's not going right. And so over at another table, this lady and her date, she's just laughing. And he's feeling that she's laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
So the scene is, and not to spoil anything, but Ian McGregor's character gets up and says, "Hey, get up on top of that table." And then basically says to her date, you cut her dress off right now.
Hmm.
And so this is just really dark and certainly where I think this movie should be like a girl power movie and it's kind of a superhero movie and everyone likes Harley Quinn. This is a really dark scene for this. It's on the level of, you remember Bombshell that came out around Christmas time? And was it Roger Ailes? There was a scene where Margot Robbie's character is in the office with Roger Ailes. And Roger Ailes is saying, well, I can make you a, you know, a star and stuff like that. And Margot Robbie's character is asked to stand up and to pull up her skirt, pull up her skirt a little higher. And eventually she's standing with her skirt above her underwear.
Hmm.
And she's humiliated by this.
Right.
And Roger Ailes is trying to justify it. He goes, I know what, you know, visual cell news and blah, 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 blah. But the point is it's destroying this character.
Right.
That was a grown-up film about grown-up topics.
Yeah,
this is a film that is about you know, kind of girl superheroes. 14-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls want to see this type of film.
Mm-hmm.
This type of scene is just not characteristic. It's like grown-ups and Adam Sandler films where you're in like a child's movie and then there's like adult statements that are being made and it just seems like, whoa, the tone just seems to take a wrong place. This also suffers from a bunch of characters. There's Huntress in it. There's Black Canary. And I think these movies just don't respect the mythology of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not be a proper observation, but I think it is because these superheroes could be anybody. They didn't need to be those characters. And it just seemed really like a silly movie with a silly get together. And if you say, well, it's a superhero film, yeah, I think we could do that. It just seems to be awful. 25 out of 100.
Wow.
I just think this is bad.
The DC Universe fails us once again, huh? Another why is this so dark movie from DC?
Well, and it's not over. I mean, darkness is part of this, but that's not just the problem with it. There's just not a good story to it.
All right. I got to watch a good story. The fifth season of Outlander has hit our TVs. This is on the Starz cable network.
Starz.
Yes. And this is, wow, 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 wow. This is great filmmaking. Cinematography on this is phenomenal. The acting is great.
What is the premise of Outlander?
The idea here is a young lady from 1945 travels back in time to the 1700s and has a dual life. She lives a life in 1945 in the middle of war in England and then travels to 1743 where she's in the middle of other fights in other parts of the world. This particular season...
Is this a time travel?
This is a time travel book. This is Doctor Who fan fiction is where this started.
Did it really?
Yes, sir. Diana Gabaldon, who wrote all of the books in this series...
Does it have sparkly vampire stuff?
No, this is not that kind of fan fiction. This is based on Doctor Who and the character Jamie McCrimmon from Doctor who Diana Gabaldon really enjoyed. She made these stories, and she couldn't get the rights to call him Jamie McCrimmon, so she called him Jamie Frazier, because the actor who plays Jamie McCrimmon, our friend Frazier Hines, who's always at Chicago TARDIS, he is the one that is the basis for this.
That's just too deep for me,
it's
Steve.
Awesome. It is awesome to be in the room with Frazier Hines and hear him tell stories about how Diana Gabaldon loved his character so much she made this whole other series.
All right, so Outlander, are all the seasons the same? I mean, are we going back to the same period of time?
Yes. The story does go on from the original time period, and the locations are always different. This season is in North Carolina.
Oh, is it really?
Of course it is.
Oh, well, it sounds like a great. Taking place in the old North State, huh, Steve?
Yes. In the beginning, in the frontier time.
The frontier of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, there was a time.
Was it frontier?
There was a time when the people settling that area were settling that area and had all of the problems of being alone in the wilderness and trying to make their lives there. And that's what the story of season 5 is. focusing on. This is from showrunner Ronald D. Moore, whose work you love.
Oh, I do.
You would love Outlander.
Well, maybe I'll have to do this. Should we start with season one?
I think you should start with season one. Remember my warning from season one is there is a brutal rape in season one. There is,
Steve, that doesn't sound fun.
It's not fun. I hated that part of this story with a passion.
Is that maybe the springboard of the stories?
That is where it all starts, and the people involved have to live with that moment afterwards, and it's always there. It's always a part of the story. They move on, like people do that are victims of crimes. They move on, but it's still a part of their history. I do recommend that you start with season one. That's on Netflix. Seasons one, two, and three are all on Netflix.
They are.
And then you can get into season four and five, which are on Stars. I recommend this for everybody who has loved Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Battlestar Galactica, and For All Mankind, all the Ronald D. Moore shows.
So the first three seasons are on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I had Netflix, is there something fun I should watch?
Yes. The other thing Netflix is good for is stand-up comedy. I love storytelling, and our storytellers, our traveling storytellers that go from town to town, are our stand-up comedians. I got a chance to watch Tom Papa in his Netflix special this week.
Papa.
Come to Papa. That's the name of his podcast. His podcast is called Come to Papa. This one is called You're Doing Great. Tom Papa, for those of you who don't know, is a compatriot of Jerry Seinfeld. He grew up in about the same time as Jerry Seinfeld. Okay. He's very similar in his delivery of storytelling.
We should listen to him because he's bald, isn't he, Steve?
He looks and sounds very similar to a host of Too Much Scrolling. I totally agree with you on that.
And he has a couple daughters, Steve?
And he has two daughters, and he tells his stories, and he's a great storyteller. I love listening to his way of putting together these ideas, finding these themes. The theme of this one is everything's fine. Stop worrying about everything. Yes, things are happening in the world. Yes, maybe you don't like the way politics are working. Maybe your finances aren't perfect, but you're doing great. Just do it.
Well, I think we do live in amazing times, and sometimes we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we also need reminders of that.
Yeah.
And while certainly there are things maybe you want to change in the world, the grand part of this is that you were probably living so much better than your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sometimes forget the context of that.
That's what Netflix can do. You can look at North Carolina in 1743, or you can look at now and you can compare the two and contrast how hard life was and how easy it is now and stop worrying about too much stuff.
And like Kevin Smith, he's from New Jersey, right?
Yes, he is a New Jersey guy as opposed to a New York guy, because Jerry Seinfeld's New York and Tom Papa is New Jersey, and there's a difference between those two states.
Well, of course, New Jersey just doesn't get the respect, Steve.
That's right.
The Garden State.
That's right. Opening this week, maybe there's some movies that we can all agree on. The first one is a movie that has been in the works for a long time. It's based on the Jack London book from 1903. This is Call of the Wild.
And this stars Han Solo as a space ghost, right?
Space ghost.
A Jedi. Is he a Jedi?
He's not a Jedi, but he knows that the Jedi religion is true. All of it. Yes, this is Harrison Ford playing John Thornton, the character who is going through all the struggles of survival in the wilds of the Yukon during the 1890s Yukon Gold Rush.
This looks awful, Steve.
The CGI on this just looks terrible. There's a dog.
That's a Wookiee, Steve.
Uh-huh.
A Wookiee playing a dog.
That was the picture. The first trailer that came out for this, somebody took the picture of Han Solo, Harrison Ford, sitting next to this dog and said, yeah, when you get older, you might think that you're traveling space with a Wookiee, but it's actually just a dog, sir.
Star Wars reimagined, right, as Han Solo's crazy trip. It's trip.
In the 1890s. This book has been made into a movie so many times.
Spent a little bit too much time at those Star Wars bars, Steve, the cantina.
Right. Clark Gable played this character in 1935. Charlton Heston played a sweaty, dirty version of this in 1972.
And of course, Indiana Jones plays it today.
And now we've got got Harrison Ford. I hope that this is a good movie.
We named the dog Indy.
This is a dog movie. I'm sure the dog movie lovers will love this, but the CGI just looks so awful.
It's like Balto.
It is like the remake of Balto that came out a few months ago. Like, why are we doing bad CGI? We have the technology.
Speaking of remakes, Steve.
Yep. There is a new version of Emma. This one is called Emma, and then period at the end. There's Emma.
And this is based on Jane Austen's book, Emma,
yes.
Which reminds me of, if you haven't, go to the internet, look up Jane Austen's Fight Club. One of the great, great skits yes. I've ever seen.
Yes. This is a love triangle. This is a really funny, silly story that Jane Austen wrote.
Hit me.
About love and relationships. This is probably going to be really fun to watch. This might be the fun movie of the week, actually.
This may be, because as we keep going, Steve. Things get dark.
Yes. The next movie is called Premature. This is a young lady in Harlem, and she is struggling. And
actually, this looks fine. There's nothing really outstanding about this.
Yeah.
Other than it looks like it's a story
about a struggle.
About a struggle. Yeah. And all I'm going to say is this looks better than the other stuff we'll get to, Steve. Let's go to the other stuff.
Yes. The next one is called Goldie. This is a story of a young lady with a struggle. Same theme. This one, she's living in a family shelter, and she decides she needs to leave the family shelter and take her younger siblings with her.
And as you're watching the trailer, it kind of has a look, maybe it's a documentary.
It does.
But it isn't. It yeah. isn't. It's just the film shows they made.
Right. There is a movie called The Night Clerk. This
looks like Psycho.
This is a very similar to Psycho. This is Ty Sheridan running a hotel. He's the clerk at a hotel.
He's a voyeur.
And there are cameras in the rooms, and he is observing humanity. Now, he is a person who has Asperger's, mm-hmm. and he's trying to understand how humans work, as many of us do. He's trying to figure it out, but boy, going about it, watching them on camera is not the right way to figure people out.
Does he keep asking about Mother?
I didn't hear anything about Mother in the trailer, but there is a murder in the trailer.
And it certainly does. It has uh-huh. that Psycho feeling to it.
Yes, it
anyway,
does.
Anyway, Steve.
Features Helen Hunt and John Leguizamo.
Okay.
An older, wiser Helen Hunt and John Leguizamo in this one.
Steve, are there any horror films with dolls?
Yeah. Your creepy doll movie of the week is Brahms, The Boy 2. This is the sequel to The Boy that came out in 2016, the story of a really scary doll that befriends a young boy and, talks to the boy and tells the boy what to do.
Well, it looks scary. Hey, Steve, let's say that we have HBO. What shows should we be watching this week?
Yeah, it's Black History Month here in the United States, and so our continuing story of Black history comes to an interesting, interesting festival this week. This is called We Are the Dream, the Kids of the Oakland MLK Oratorical Fest. The 40th anniversary of this annual festival was filmed by a documentary crew. This is a group of kids, pre-K through 12th grade, who stand up on stage and share their thoughts with an audience.
And Steve's angle on this also is, these are kids in school and teachers.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean,
I'm all over this.
Oh, of course you are. This actually looks, of all the things that we've discussed this week, this is probably the best.
I have such talented kids in my school. I love when they're able to stand up and give a testimony of who they are and how they feel. These kids in this trailer are amazing in their ability to share their ideas. I look forward to seeing this one.
Book it, book it, book it. Book it, book it, book it. Book it. Book it.
Brings us to our book of the week. You have been bettering yourself for the last 6 years. You are a different person.
I am a different person
than you were,
Steve.
6 years
ago. I have a few less hair. a few less hair.
Your English is still good though.
That's right. Good English. Important.
You talk
English.
Good.
English is good.
You have gone through one of the great courses this week. This one is called Espionage and Covert Operations, A Global History by Dr. Vejas Lovedashish.
I took this course on purpose.
So I would have to say Lovedashish?
Exactly. As we were listening to prepare how to pronounce this last name.
Dr. Lovedashish has a lot to say about espionage. Tell me all about this great course.
Now, he teaches at Tennessee, down in Knoxville. And so he has expertise in German history, Steve, and he put together a course on espionage. And Steve, for an hour a day over a period of time, a period of weeks, you can better your knowledge on a subject.
And that's what the great courses do, is give you that information on a higher level. This is a university-level thinking on a topic that you might be interested in, espionage and covert operations.
And it is. It's one of those things where, when you sit down, we never feel like we have enough knowledge of global affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as you think you know about something, you know, we know a little bit about U.S. history. We know, when I say propaganda, what I mean is the story of the United States history is kind of written so it's palatable when we're younger. And as we get older and we read more, it becomes more nuanced, right? Well, our world history works the same way. We know a lot about the West in a way. But our knowledge of how, you know, what shaped history and what turn of events helped with history is something that we just, like I said, I just never feel like I have enough knowledge on. And my assumption is, if we were all honest with ourselves, many of us really struggle with this. So espionage is where, I guess, we send people out, or groups send people out to learn about other countries and potentially sway decisions and make an impact on history.
Maybe find out secrets that those other groups are not trying to share, but we invade their intelligence community a little bit. This is James Bond stuff.
It is, and as the professor starts off by saying, is
Lovedashish.
Yes, let's just say that over and over. My goodness. Is that the point is that these stories many times are even more intriguing than the James Bond film that you watch.
Really?
Or the, I don't know, whatever type of espionage novel you read.
Tom Clancy?
Sure.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm just going to leave you with one of the stories that I enjoyed. It was about World War I.
Okay.
So 1917, we saw the movie earlier this year, and this takes place around that time. The United States is going to remain neutral. It's real important that the United States remain neutral. We have a large group of Irish that have moved to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We have a large group of Germans who have moved to the United States, and they don't like the Britain. They don't like English people.
Okay.
And so they don't want us to become involved in this war. And this is a war for the old country. We live in America. We don't need to be part of this. Now, the United States trades. We have trade with foreign countries. And so, obviously, this is potentially is a reason why we would get dragged into this war. So, Germany sends over a spy. Now, spies can go rogue. And this one kind of did.
Yeah.
Because usually, when you're a spy, you're going to do stuff, sabotage things. You're going to get intelligence. But you want to kind of remain small. Like, you don't want anybody to really notice what you're doing.
Right.
This spy just was blowing up. He would blow up stuff. And, you know, when you blow up a big building or something like that,
yeah,
ends up blowing up glass all over town. And there's this one in New York that was blowing up, and, you know, all the windows are shattering and stuff like that. So it was real noisy. And the Germans were like, this guy's got to get, we got to get him out of the United States. He's just too noisy on this stuff. And so they do. They get him out of the United States. But by the time he gets to Britain, where he's a German guy, he's going to transfer boats to be able to get to the old country. He gets caught, shipped back to the United States, and stand trial.
Okay.
During that, the same story, we learned that Germany was trying to coax Mexico to joining their side of this war. And the idea was, if Mexico would do that, then what the gift would be is to give back California and New Mexico and Arizona and Colorado, that whole area. So the British intelligence picked up this through a some kind of telegraph or something. And the question was, how were they going to release this knowledge back to the public so that we knew what was going on. Well, they decided they were not going to release that knowledge firsthand.
Okay.
But I hope I'm saying this correctly. When they, the code that they broke to do it was a very challenging code to break. Uh-huh. They don't want the Germans to know that they broke that code. So what they ended up doing is going back to the United States, and they found the telegram, I think it was a Western Union telegram, that would go from Western Union, United States, down to Mexico to do it. So that was in a code also, but it was a simpler code. So when they released that, they were going to release it from that point of view as opposed to where they got the other code.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, we get a lot of little stories like that. And that's why I think that, that where the interest comes in. Now, I this is not my expertise. It certainly is something that is passively of interest because it is fascinating to go through these types of stories. And this is an entire course where we go from ancient times up to modern times and how intelligence works and espionage works.
Interesting. How interesting. There's so much information out there. That's really the theme of Too Much Scrolling. That's what we set out to find, more information. Those great courses are a great way to get some of that knowledge.
And you know, if you look around, you usually can find one on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take, I'm taking another one right now. We'll, when I finish that, we'll talk a little bit about
nice.
It. So I do encourage any person, if you need to tighten up knowledge on something, that's a good place to do it. I was at the University of Chicago last week for a talk, and I was talking to one of the gentlemen I met, just kind of moseying around and mingling. And I was saying, hey, listen, I was looking at going to graduate school. And he goes, well, why are you going to go to graduate school? Figure out the areas where you're short on knowledge and just come down and take that course.
Uh-huh.
And you're not really interested in the degree. You're interested in the knowledge.
Yeah. I talk to my students about this all the time. The knowledge is out there. They don't have to go anywhere. It's on the internet. You just have to find the right sources, the valid sources. The great courses is one of those places.
And if you take the time to study it, and that's the deal, is for this espionage course, this was, when I say passively listening, I was listening for enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be my expertise or anything like that. I picked up some nice information, but there are some that I listen to specifically because I need to tighten up my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fascinating, nice. Very good job, and if you have interest in it, I do recommend it.
Great. The link is in our show notes. I do recommend the great courses.
Appetite.
Brings us to our app of the week. You know,
did you say app of the week, Steve?
Hey, look, everyone. It's our first app of the week for 2020.
Oh, we used to do an app of the week all the time.
We did, but it's kind of fallen out of favor, the idea of having an app.
But still, what's happening is they are developing them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we run two apps that may serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm. So this week, we need to talk about sleep. We are old people. You and I.
Well, young at heart, Steve.
I've never been young at heart. I was always old at heart.
An old soul,
I
Steve.
Was always old at heart. We think about things like sleep patterns.
We do. And I have Hue Lights, and I use the Hue app, which if you're not familiar with Hue Lights, they basically are your lights are hooked up to an app, and you can turn them on and turn them off, and it'll turn different colors however you wish to use them. They're absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But they recommended to me Sleep Cycle, which is a basically an app that follows your sleep patterns, or at least attempts to follow your sleep patterns. The way the app works is when you're ready to go to bed, you plug in your phone, because this is you're going to be using your phone all night long, and you open up the app, and you basically press that you're getting ready to go to sleep. The microphone of your phone will at that point listen to you. It's listening for you snoring, turning over, making noise, rumbling. And what it's trying to do is figure out, you know, when you are in light sleep, all the way down to that deep sleep that you're looking for, where your body's really, really resting. And then you tend to come back up out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to do that multiple times through the night. And the idea is if we could figure out the rhythm of your sleep, that we want to wake you up when you're coming out of that lightness of that sleep. if we can do that, as opposed to when you're in deep sleep, you should feel more refreshed. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of those apps that are doing it. It sounds like you're using one of those apps.
I've used so many of these apps over the years.
So we're going to try to discuss them over the next few weeks. And we'll discuss the current one you're using next week.
Awesome.
So Sleep Cycles are the one I'm currently using. It's in its phase right now where it's following my sleep patterns. Mm-hmm. And what it's doing is gathering data from me. And we'll see how this kind of plays out. When you've used them in the past, tell us a little bit about, what have you learned about your sleep pattern?
My sleep pattern is pretty solid. I am a go to bed at 10, wake up at 6 person. I've always been that person. And the sleep app has just given me that data that says, yes, that's what you do, is you go to bed at 10 and you wake up at 6 almost every night.
Sure.
But it shows me those ups and downs. That's deep sleep versus that light sleep versus when I'm awake. And that's very interesting to know during your day. If you are tired, you might not know why you're tired. Mm-hmm. And having that information, you might change your thinking about, oh, that's why I'm tired. Now that I know that, I can go on with my day.
Well, there's plenty of studies that show that we should get a proper amount of sleep. Mm-hmm. And whether for you it's 7 hours or it's 9 hours, I don't know.
I subscribe to the idea that it's not the hours of sleep that's the thing, it's the time. Going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time, even on Saturday, even on Sunday. That's for me the pattern.
Well, I think you and I are similar, because I do go to bed at 9:30, 10, mm-hmm. and I do wake up 5 or 6, somewhere around there. I try to do it a very natural type of situation. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to determine is why during the day I get tired. And I do have sleep apnea, and so I end up using a mask when I sleep. And it also has a chip in there that's collecting the data.
But it's a Mexican wrestling mask.
Exactly. A lot of people like that. I actually have a wrestling name while I'm asleep. If you ever come see me, that's exactly what it is. It's like a firework. It's a phoenix.
There you go.
It's a phoenix on my face, Steve. I don't want to startle anyone, but sometimes you play games. It's called role playing, Steve.
Go on. I totally derailed your really important conversation. That's how it feels, Chip.
Well, I went with it. Well, my new goal is to see if I can wake up, or this will allow me to wake up, when I'm coming out of that light sleep. Mm-hmm. The idea is when you're coming out of that light sleep, go ahead and just get up. Mm-hmm. Now, the way it works with Hue lights is when you're coming to that light sleep, it'll automatically switch on those lights slowly.
Uh-huh.
So it just kind of reminds you, time to get up.
I love that. My wife hates it because she hates getting up, but I love that light waking you up instead of that noisy alarm waking you up. We went to Las Vegas, and the hotel in Vegas had that light system where it would wake you up at a certain time instead of a noisy alarm. I adored it, and I went with it ever since.
And it was red lights, and it immediately forced you to get out and get to the gambling area, Steve. Exactly. What are those noise? That noise means you need to get out to the gambling areas.
we need your money. Sleep Cycle is an interesting app. It is more information. That's all it is. It's more information that maybe can help you.
That data set that you're drawing from, and it's your personal data.
There you go.
Scroll with it.
To our scroll with it, I mentioned that I got a plug-in hybrid car, Chip.
You did.
One of the reasons I got the plug-in hybrid car is because next week's Too Much Scrolling will be powered 100% by the sun. We are getting solar panels on our house, and all of my electrical needs will be powered by the sun next week.
So are you saying Too Much Scrolling is carbon neutral?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Now carbon neutral. We'll have to actually make that at one of our tags.
There's all sorts of reasons why I'm doing this. There's financial reasons for my family. I'm going to save a lot of money doing this way. But there's also bigger global issues. Did you see that there was a 116 square mile chunk of Antarctica that fell off into the ocean this week?
Is Disney going to put a park on it?
I think that the traveling iceberg. Come and see the traveling iceberg.
Mickey's iceberg.
This is
Mickey Land.
116 square miles. This is about the size of Malta. And yes, Malta is a very small country, but it's a big chunk of ice.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing.
It's concerning.
That's something that's that large. Uh-huh.
Just falling. And the video is pretty stunning to watch this piece of ice. So there's issues. We need to think about things. On the lighter side of the news this week, HQ Trivia has halted operations.
So for those who do not know what HQ Trivia is, because we didn't cover it in App of the Week, did we?
We did.
We did.
About 3 years ago. Oh. About 3 or 4 years ago, HQ Trivia was all the rage. Everybody was playing this app, this trivia game. A live host was asking questions, and people around the world were answering their questions on their smartphones and winning real money.
So the way it would work is they'd ask a question and you would guess what the answer is. Mm-hmm. If you got that one right, you would go to the next level.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually you went from this massive pool of players down to a few, in the
last few years, it's been a few winners, not just one winner. And so they divided the pot of money. But they were giving away real money. They were giving away thousands of dollars. And on special occasions, they were giving away millions of dollars for this trivia contest.
So how did they make money? Obviously, they didn't, Steve.
They didn't, Chip. They have halted operations.
Kind of like MoviePass, just kind of liquidate quickly.
They have given away all the money that they had. So that dream is over.
All the money they raised.
All the money that the angel investors gave them to make this app work is now gone, and this app is no longer a thing. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to miss this.
Well, I'm surprised. I mean, this seems like it could be picked up again.
Sure.
This is not the only company that could do this.
Sure.
Just like MoviePass, certainly evolved into mm-hmm. Regal's program and AMC's program, something maybe a little more sustainable.
A first round idea that might be picked up by somebody else. I think that is what we're looking at for HQ Trivia.
Isn't that Apple's business model? It's like, oh, you've created something? Yeah. Well, ours will come out and 3 or 4 years later. It'll be way more expensive, but actually it has a business plan.
Yeah, that's Kyle Hickman's idea. He took the idea of making a podcast from us, and he's made his own podcast.
Well, I hope he doesn't Munson it, Steve.
Our movie expert, Kyle Hickman, has a new podcast. He announced it on our Oscars show, and now it is here. You should go to your podcatcher, and you should search for Munson's at the Movies. This is a bi-weekly podcast. Episode 1 features Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a deep dive into the artistic talent of young, handsome Robin. Is he Robin? He might be Robin. Maybe he's Robin, Steve. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The wheel decides. They have a wheel where they have hundreds of different stars that they can choose from, and the wheel decides who they're going to discuss on the next episode.
This is Kyle Hickman from the Munsons at the Movies podcast, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling. We'll see you in the future.
What is fascinating about Kyle is his massive amount of material that he has watched.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us watch, I don't know,
20.
Well, 20 movies a year.
Uh-huh.
So we have 52 weeks in a year, and maybe I get to, well, we have to do 52 at least over the course of a year. He'll probably watch 150, 200 during that time.
He watches a lot of movies. He has a lot of knowledge. He cares about the idea of Hollywood and these movies.
The craft, Steve.
The craft.
The craft.
And now he's got his outlet to share that knowledge with us. Again, you should download this show and support Kyle in all he's doing.
Do we talk about this? Like, we're the parent of this?
I'm so proud.
I'm so proud of Kyle.
Between Munson's at the Movies and CF3, yes, we have launched several podcasts from Too Much Scrolling over the years.
Oh, how lovely. Good luck to them all.
Excellent. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
If you can get me to stop driving, maybe I'll come back and do a show next week. We'll see. We'll see how long I spend in the car this week. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Essenflo.
We'll see you in the future. So long. So we don't talk about what I want to talk about. What I want to thank you for.